This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
4 days left to go till the draft, Daniel. Who should the Browns take?
You guys, there's no warm-up questions here. I like that.
We get right to it.
Right to it.
Yeah, get right to it. I mean, I've said the same thing through the whole process. I'm not going to change now in the last week before the draft here. I think it should be Sam Darnold. I think he's the best quarterback of the bunch. You know, you talk about a kid being 20 years old. Where he is right now is pretty darn impressive, and I still think he's got a lot of room to grow. So he would be my choice right there at number one.
Why are they thinking about Josh Allen then?
Well, I think you fall in love with what you hope he can become. I definitely don't think it's a situation where you say this is where he is right now and we're going to take him. But I think if you say, okay, Tyrod can buy us a couple years and we're trying to forecast who the best guy will be in 2020, I can see how you can try and talk yourself into that.
Daniel Jeremiah joined us on the hotline. If there's one thing I know, it was about 4 months ago when guys finished playing their last college football games. There seemed to be not much of a gap whatsoever between some of the quarterbacks in this draft. Since then, somehow Sam Darnold's become the guy. Yet I don't hear Josh Rosen's name at all for number one. What has changed since the end of the college football season?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I don't know. I've had the same order for these top four guys since I put out my first list in January. So I've always had Josh Rosen as the number two guy, Baker Mayfield as number three, and Josh Allen as number four. It's just when you're talking to folks around the league and trying to get a beat on what the Browns might do, the names that come up are the other three. And I would say, you know, probably in order, you hear Josh Allen's name the most associated with the Browns. You then hear Sam Darnold's name. And then Baker at down the home stretch here, you're starting to hear him sprinkled in a little bit. But for some reason, Josh Rosen's name just never gets mentioned when you talk to people around the league trying to predict this pick.
Daniel, well, could it just be smokescreen type of stuff here? Because I don't want to go with every single thing. I'm not a big, huge fan of Josh Allen at number one. I think it could end up being disastrous. So, but I don't want to sit there and go, well, you know, it's smokescreen. Just because I don't want to believe it doesn't mean it's not true.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of smart people around the league that think that's what John Dorsey will do. So, you know, you take that for whatever it's worth. They're not even telling me they think it's the right move. They just think, you know, looking at John and knowing John and what he values and what he covets, they think there's a very real possibility that there is the pick. So that's kind of what you go off of there. I just tell people when they ask me why Sam Darnold and why would you not take Josh Allen there, I think Sam Darnold, at worst, is a double off the wall all day long. And you guys know, in Cleveland right now, a double off the wall, you'll take it all day long. And I think that's the floor. It could be more. Whereas with Josh Allen, you're not choking up, man. You're swinging from your heels. You might hit it out of the stadium, or you might completely miss. And I just didn't think they'd want to take that type of risk at number one.
Daniel Jeremiah joining us on the hotline, NFL Network analyst, does as good a job as anyone, and it's a great opportunity to get him right before the NFL draft. So, Daniel, we've been hearing rumors that, man, John Dorsey's not giving anybody info. He's not telling Jimmy Haslam. Yeah. He's not telling his family. He's not even telling Hugh Jackson. Do you notice anything different in the way that this process, at least from what you're hearing, so we got to take that with a grain of salt because a lot of misinformation this time of year. Are you hearing anything about maybe formatically how different the lead up to the draft is for this regime than in the past?
Well, I definitely think things are very close to the best. I think this is kind of, though, a recent trend. And, you know, I know some people have put out the conspiracy theory that somehow the NFL has reached out to the Browns and told them, hey, we want to be surprised on the clock to make it better for TV, so don't let anything out. I don't buy that. What I do buy is there's always been this concern, but it's really heightened in recent years about stuff getting out, leaks getting out of the building. And I think if you look at last year with the Chicago Bears trading up one spot to take Trubisky, I don't know that there were two people in that building that knew that was coming. That was something that they, that when you look at Ryan Pace, the GM there, I mean, he didn't tell a soul. So I know people on that coaching staff had no clue. So I think that's kind of the new trend, is that you're going to take a quarterback, you keep it very, very close to the vest. You go back to the Jags with Bortles. Nobody saw that one coming. So that's what we've seen over the last few years, and I think it's just continuing here with John Dorsey.
Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst. You can follow him on Twitter, at MoveTheSticks. Where does Saquon Barkley fit in all of this, and where might he fit for the Cleveland Browns?
Well, I think if Sam Darnold goes number one, I would say, just reading the tea leaves, I'd be very surprised if Barkley did not go number two. I would expect the Giants to take him there if they did not trade out. And if somehow, you know, if Josh Allen or maybe even a Baker Mayfield, you know, surprises and went number one, then I think it becomes more of a toss-up. Would they take Sam Darnold at two, or would they take Saquon Barkley? But I think it's very likely that Saquon's going to go at two to the Giants, or he'll go at four to the Browns.
Daniel, who has helped their stock maybe the most since the end of the season, through the workouts, through the combine, Senior Bowl, whatever, those meetings, and maybe who has hurt their chances the most?
Well, I mean, we've talked about Josh Allen a bunch. I mean, I've called him the king of spring. I mean, nobody's done more to help themselves in the spring than Josh has. When you look at the Senior Bowl, you look at what he did at the combine, the pro day, the team interviews, the psychological and intelligent testing, all that stuff, he's aced it. But I would say some other people that have helped themselves in the postseason, gosh, a guy like Jair Alexander, who's a really good player at Louisville, tested extremely well. He pushed himself up the board a little bit. Another one would be maybe a DJ Chark from LSU, who was looked at as a third or fourth round pick, and what he did at the Senior Bowl and the combine put himself in that late one, early two conversation. And for guys that hurt themselves, I probably would say Ronald Jones. When you look at the postseason with him, you know, hurt a hammy at the combine, so he didn't get to show off that speed. Has the first pro day at USC where he's not full speed and he drops a bunch of balls. Then has a makeup pro day and still didn't run as fast as you would have hoped, and still dropped a couple more balls. So I thought he's dinged himself a little bit here in the postseason.
What do you think of Bradley Chubb?
I love him. I mean, I have him as the second player in the draft just in terms of overall grade and talent. So, I mean, I think he's outstanding. I do not have a higher grade on him than I had on Myles Garrett. Myles is just a freak show athlete that just so rare. So I don't put him in that class. He is maybe a little bit more polished of a pass rusher coming out. But, man, it would be, golly, it'd be awful tempting if he's there. I don't know how you don't do that if you're Cleveland, to pair him up with Myles Garrett. You'd be in great shape. And that's what, when people ask what would you do, to me, I would take Sam Darnold at one, and I would take Bradley Chubb at number four.
Totally agree with you. Daniel Jeremiah joining us on the show. If you're there at four, there's a quarterback that maybe old Buffalo likes who might be there at 12. You got Bradley Chubb staring you at the face. What would it take for you to move down to 12 instead of take Bradley Chubb?
I don't know that there would be anything I would take, to be honest with you. I just think this is a Browns organization that has forever been talking about next year and getting more picks and more players, quantity over quality. They need quality. They need blue chip players. And you've got a chance to come away with two blue chip players, and you've still got a whole host of picks beyond that. I just don't see the benefit of getting out of that range, because I think at 12, you're going to miss out on the true blue chip top tier players in this draft.
Daniel Jeremiah with the NFL Network, providing live coverage of the 2018 NFL Draft from Dallas, April 26th to 28th. It's amazing how close we finally are here to the picks actually being made. So, Daniel, if somehow, some way, Chubb is gone and people are starting to buy in and buy high on that stock, because I've heard so much of him being talked about over the last, maybe, say, 72 hours, what do the Browns do if he's gone? Do they take Saquon Barkley, or do you think it's a guaranteed trade down?
I think they would take Saquon Barkley. I really do. And again, I know you got there's some good backs on campus right now, but he's better than everything you've got, and he's got a chance to be an elite blue chipper. So I don't think you pass on that. I love Quentin Nelson, the guard, but they don't. That's not. I can't see them doing that. To me, in that case, you just say, hey, we've got Sam Darnold, Saquon Barkley, and then you add in a young tight end. You've got a young slot receiver, Josh Gordon, still not old. If he can stay out of trouble, now you've got a young group, hopefully, they can grow up pretty quick together and be pretty dynamic.
Obviously, they need to somehow replace the first ballot Hall of Famer, Joe Thomas, who called it a career. Is there anybody you'd be looking at? Doesn't look like they're going to address that in the first round.
No.
But they've got those picks at the top of the second round. Where do you think they might address that position?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a great group at tackle this year. I don't think it, in really in both sense. Sometimes you say, okay, we have a couple of top-tier guys, and then it falls off. Or other years you don't have top-tier guys, but there's a lot of depth. I don't think there's top-tier guys, and I don't think there's a lot of depth. It's a bad year. So I'd be careful not to reach on a guy. You know, one name I might consider in the top of the second round would be somebody like a Tyrell Crosby from Oregon. Man, overall, it's just not a good year for tackles.
If you were to take another quarterback in this draft, how high up would you take him?
Well, if I was the Browns, I would probably be looking more towards wherever you maneuver yourself on the board, but it would not, the earliest would be in the late two, early three range. So if you want to kind of trade back or trade up into that range, that would probably be where I would think about it. I just think they've got a chance with those two early second round picks to get guys that can come in and help you right away. I can't see them going back to that well that early.
Daniel, the Browns went 0-16 last year, so obviously you can't be that talented for the team to go 0-16, but there are some Sashi yeah. Brown supporters who say there is a lot of young talent. So then I would ask you, with these picks in the draft, especially all these high picks, what are the Browns' needs right now? Because I ask the questions to the fans, and they say, well, we don't need linebacker, we've got that settled. We don't need wide receiver, we've got that settled. We don't need running back. Okay, then this team went 0-16. There have got to be areas this team can get better.
Yeah, no, look, To me, I just look at the team as use their resources. I think when you look at the money, the Philadelphia Eagles are in the top five for money spent on the offensive line and the defensive line. And that goes beyond the starters. That is a lot of depth and waves of guys they can throw on defense and guys that can help you out in a pinch when you have injuries on offense. So developing the trenches in more depth would be a place where I would look. And then, again, look at those teams that played in the Super Bowl, both of them using three guys in the backfield. So I know you've got two really good running backs. You got a chance to get a great one. That wouldn't be a bad way to go either.
Daniel, what's maybe a diamond in the rough that we haven't been talking about here? I know that there's guys like Rashad Penny and things like that. What might be a position there, or a player, I should say, that we should be looking at in Cleveland that we really haven't talked about, maybe mid-late round somewhere in there, a guy you really like?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Darius Leonard, who's a linebacker from South Carolina State, who, when you look at kind of this recent trend of linebackers in the league, and I kind of start that around Telvin Smith with the Jags, undersized but just explosive and fast, can run, cover, and blitz. And you look at Quan Alexander, you look at the Deion Jones. We've seen those guys over the last few years. I think he's kind of the next one, and I think you probably could get him in the third or fourth round. The kid played at a small school, but he goes to the Senior Bowl and has 14 tackles. So he's one that I'm a big fan of.
NFL Network provides live coverage of the 2018 draft from Dallas, April 26th through the 28th. Fox will air NFL Network's coverage of rounds 1-3. Daniel Jeremiah joining us on the show.
Daniel, when it comes to Ohio State and players that are going to be available in the draft, where do you see guys going, and what in the world is JT Barrett at the next level?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, to me, JT Barrett was a practice squad type guy, which kind of puts him in that sixth, seventh round range. Just some of the accuracy issues that show up. And then I don't think he's a dynamic athlete. I mean, you guys have seen plenty of him. He's a good decision maker, both as a runner and a thrower. But to me, still there's some development there. So he was a late round guy for me. I mean, really the kind of the bell of the ball is Denzel Ward. I think he's the best corner in the draft. I think he's probably, you're talking about five to ten, in that range where he comes off. The only concern with him is just the lack of size. And we've seen guys at that size that have had trouble staying healthy, guys like Jason Verrett. So that would be the knock on him. But, man, he is so twitched up and so dynamic and explosive. I think he's going to be outstanding.
Is this not pretty incredible what Ohio State has done in their secondary over the last 4 years? Every year we're talking about a guy that could go top 15?
The crazy thing is, it's not slowing down. I mean, And you got to give them, the coaching staff, not only to me, what the difference with Ohio State and a lot of these other programs, and I'd probably put Alabama in there with them, is that they have found a way to not only recruit the best kids, but they've found a way to really develop them. I mean, as good as they are when they come on campus, they get better at Ohio State, and that's a huge testament to their staff. So I went down there to their bowl game in the Cotton Bowl against SC, and I didn't know Denzel Ward wasn't playing. So I'm on the field, and I'm trying to find Ward, and I'm like, where the heck is this guy? I can't find him. And in the midst of trying to find him, I felt like I found four other NFL players in the secondary group.
Daniel, we thank you very much for the time. All the very best to you.
Thank you guys so much. Enjoy the draft. It should be a fun one.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.